I am proud indeed that Maestro Zeffirelli is with us in the studios today. The occasion, of course, the first run at the Paris Theater of his film edition of La Traviata, again starring Placido Domingo and with James Levine conducting. Mr. Zeffirelli, I guess the first question is, aside from what in general attracted you to Traviata as a film, how did you approach it differently from what you have done before in the sense of filming an opera as it takes place on the stage?
I suppose you refer to those two small films I did in La Scala.
Yes.
Cab and Pag.
Sort of on stage.
Which were halfway between a live from and a film opera. Mm-hmm. I used La Scala stage as a movie theater. And we did something that normally is not done with music, with cinema. We had an orchestra and the singers there and played simultaneously. Mm-hmm. While I was shooting, I had five cameras. We did some little bit of cinema, I mean, tracking and craning and all of that, but wasn't quite yet cinema. It was something better than television, because to begin with, the cameras, cinema cameras, are better than the telecameras. Mm-hmm. And I could do then follow more qualified editing and printing and lighting. Then we did the whole opera there, the two operas. While Pagliacci was entirely shot on the stage of La Scala, Cavalleria, on the contrary, picked up the recording, the playback, and we did on stage, and went to shoot in Sicily for a fortnight. I did all the peasant scenes at the beginning. I did all the Easter procession down there in Sicily. Mm-hmm. It's very nice. That's halfway. Then. But then, having done that, I said, why don't I do a proper opera film? Mm-hmm. A proper film based on an opera. That was more or less the spirit of the operation. That's why I took certain liberties, both narrative and also musical, in transferring.
Wow. All right. Now, I haven't seen the film yet, so you'll have to tell me and confess here what liberties you have taken.
Well, first of all, I'm sure that Verdi would have approved what I did. I'm so arrogant to think that. Also because my authors, I know they've always liked the way I handled their work. Mm-hmm. Even if it was not good or not enough talent up to their stature, but at least there was the attitude. My attitude toward those extraordinary works has always been of humility and respect, mm-hmm. and try to understand what the author meant and wanted. I'm sure Verdi, being the extremely practical man that he must have been, knowing very well the reasons of the audience for stage, you would have understood the reasons for the audience for movies, mm-hmm. and would have understood instantly the reasons why I suggested certain cuts. Not many, though. Actually, the act that I trim most has been the second act, which has, for me, presented most of my troubles in transferring the opera into cinema. Mm-hmm. Because it is the most realistic of all in terms of situation, and the most romantic in terms of musical form. You have closed musical numbers, and it's one after the other, and they're all duets, and a couple of arias in there, and then duets, and then recitativo, and duets. And it's... you're there, you're stuck with your three characters. There's very little you can do. You have to make them play and sing well, that's all. Mm-hmm. And I think we managed. And we had to cut some repetitious passages, something that the audience had already understood and known and liked. Cinema has a tremendous economic problem. You cannot go on repeating the same things. It burns the information, cinema, as you know. So there I found my most difficult problems. Not in the first and second and third act, actually, mm-hmm. the so-called third act. Not in the second part of the... Then I did another big cut, which was chopping off the beginning of the last act. It's only recitativo, actually. But it's all information again there.
All right, Franco Zeffirelli, let us back up to the first act. We're going to hear the Libiamo and the scene... following it,
yep.
from the soundtrack, which means Teresa Stratus as Violetta, Placido Domingo as Alfredo, and other members of the cast, Alan Monk and so on. How did this scene differ in your present involvement than it would have had you either been making a film that didn't include music or had you been mounting the opera at the Met or La Scala? In other words, what shifted, what changed in this scene as we listened to it?
Musically, absolutely nothing. I mean, it went straight on. Every note composed by Verdi for those scenes is there, except the usual cuts on the duet, mm-hmm. which normally is not that done. No, they're even done on stage.
But how did you direct this scene differently because it was a film as opposed to the way you would have directed it in the house?
Well, naturally. I mean, you switch to a different medium and you have to reconceive the same situation in terms of cinema. It's a little bit what Verdi did with the play. He took the original play by Dumas, it was a famous drama, actually the greatest hit ever in the history of theater, Lady of the Camellias. Mm-hmm. He took it from the dramatic stage in five acts and put it in three acts on the operatic stage with music. So he did a very consistent transition. You could have asked Verdi, what the difference does it make?
Yeah, I guess
what
so.
Style?
I would have if I'd been there, probably.
Yeah. So the answer probably would be the same. My answer would be the same as the one he would have given you. So in moving from one medium to another, you had to do some adjustments.
Right, but I'm trying to understand what some of those adjustments are. Now, here you have an interior scene. You have a ball scene. So it's all taking place in one room. What did you do differently because you were taking with cameras than you would have if there were no cameras and you were just setting it for an audience in the house?
Oh, well, first of all, in my production, even for the stage, I had a lot of scene changes in the first act, moving from kind of nothing, no man's land, into her bedroom when she was dying, into her salon when she was alive and happy, back to her bedroom when she was happy the first time she meets with him, back to the bed, to the salon when she's dilapidated. All the scene changes I already had in the theater production, beginning with the one in Dallas with Maria Callas, and then I did the same one in La Scala and in Rio de Janeiro. Same idea. In movies, I could develop this much better because instead of being in the salon, I was in the apartment. And we built a fantastic apartment, beautiful. And I could move around, you know, from one room to the other, dining room, bedroom, corridor, salon, entrance, staircases, and courtyard. So we had all that I needed there, like normally we have for a film. There is no particular technique. I think if you are consistent in telling the audience a story with cinematic devices, or language rather, of a planet where people express themselves singing, you have to be consistent. If you are thoroughly consistent, I mean, the audience cannot be distracted. You cannot bring them back to the world where people talk. You have to stay always above that reality and create everything should sing in an opera film. That's why I'm very angry with some stupid critics who say, wow, this is too rich, it's too much color. Everything must sing in a planet where people sing. I mean, the furniture, everything has to be larger than life. If you look at the theaters that these people built for those operas, I mean, if you look at Paris Opera or the La Scala or Venice in Venice, actually, the theater where the opening took place, they were beautifully decorated, richly decorated theaters. And because the proscenium arches and the curtains, I mean, the curtains were painted, they expected when the curtain went up to see a rich, something very rich happening on stage, not a bleak black velvet, grey costumes, backlit Swedish productions. They don't match with the architecture. So opera requires riches and grandeur. It does, especially something like Traviata.
La bellezza in fiora, e la fuggevole, fuggevole.
Some of the literal singing. We let the scenery sing at another occasion when you actually go to see the film edition of La Traviata. Meanwhile, Teresa Stratas, Placido Domingo, Alan Monk, and others, James Levine conducting, and all of this taken from the soundtrack of La Traviata, which is playing now at the Paris Theater. Our guest is the director of the film, Franco Zeffirelli. Did you tape the performance as you were filming it, or was that dubbed later? Or pre-recorded?
It was pre-recorded, and I used the playback.
Now, why didn't you use your La Scala system of having them sing it as they're filming it?
Because that would have required having also 100 people in the orchestra around for every take. And that would have been a slight problem.
I mean, you worry about budgets? I thought you just... Oh, I see. All right.
and beside, every musical... piece in every film you see, it's always playback, it's always pre-recorded. Mm-hmm. Actually, I did something rather revolutionary. We post-recorded something, because in the course of the developing of our ideas and the filming, we realized that some of what we had recorded did not match with the intensity of certain scenes on the screen. So we went back to the recording room, and the orchestra was late anyway, and I had my singers to re-sing certain areas, either more gentle or more violent, whatever. And also, in some cases, there is something absolutely unheard of before, they went on live.
You did?
Mm-hmm. They went on live because I had re-recorded in certain passages, and mm-hmm. certain recitativi drammatici, for instance.
All right, we're going to move on now to the second act, the scene with Violetta and the father. And now this is one of those elements you said that you had some difficulties because it's a very static situation. There's not much you can do cinematically. So was here the direction any different? Did the acting start taking on a somewhat different focus?
Well, you know, as a matter of fact, the audience, for some reason, is the least popular of all the parts of Traviata, for some reason, because of that boring father coming in, breaking up the dream, and so on. Some people make fun of it. They said, we should do a big cut there. have Germain arriving. Madame Michelle Verelli, sonio, siate felice, addio, and the girls. The first line and the last line, and forget everything. Of course, that's a joke, but there is a, it shows a certain uneasiness in anybody who stages Traviata for that second act, which is so magnificent music. And it's a moment where the soprano can show her tremendous talents there. Callas in the second act, she was absolutely riveting. But, it, as I said before, you are stuck with a dialogue, a sung dialogue between two characters. And then the character change, but they're always two. It's always a duet. This thing is not recitativo. It's really sung in forma chiusa. And that is a bit of a problem. It drags for 25 minutes, 20 minutes. It's a big bulk of music and drama, rather downbeat. And it's one thing, it's easy when you have festivities or drama, the agony of the woman, her death, her despair, and all of that. But the colloquio, a dialogue, where you have a lot of information and twisting somebody's mind, somebody's decisions, it's going to a realistic area, which matches very difficult, in very difficult way with music and cinema. So I found constant uneasiness there. That's why I went to Paris in France. I did some mysterious. I injected the image of the daughter of this man, of Germain, and Alfredo's sister, who was the object of this terrible dilemma, actually the reason for this collapse of the whole situation. So I wanted the audience to see this girl and understand why fully what kind of problems Violetta had. So I had to do a lot, any possible device, or like the father hidden in the bushes behind the house to see that his scheme works, watching her go away. I had to add a little bit of music for her departure, because there again, I mean, the libretto doesn't help much. Things happen, they make three trips to Paris, back and forth in one day. In the same day, it's a bit...
Well, they took the metro, obviously.
Yeah, a bit funny if you look carefully. On stage, it doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't absolutely matter. But when, you know, cinema is such a magnifying lens, not only, but people are very shrewd, the cinema audience.
Non avrà posato i
Another scene from the film edition of La Traviata, Teresa Stratus as Violetta, Cornell McNeil, Germont, and James Levine conducting. Our guest today, Franco Zeffirelli, who directed the film, and we will continue our conversations and, of course, continue dipping into the new film soundtrack recording after some announcements here in the Great Artist Series. Franco Zeffirelli is visiting with us today, his film edition of La Traviata playing at the Paris Theatre. And, well, we've been talking about all sorts of elements in it. As we move on now to the third act, and we again have a tutti scene. We have a scene of great to-do and commotion. I'm very interested in, I once again preface the question with the remark that I have not yet seen the film. But I'm very curious how you deal with crowd scenes here and elsewhere.
Crowd scenes never worry me, never really. I did the crucifixion in my film of Jesus in Tunisia, where I had about 3,000 people screaming and yelling and all of that. And it was a ball. I just had no problem. Mm. It's much more difficult, I tell you, for me, a close-up of a character, of a main character, a nuance, a difficult, sensitive moment through the eyes and through the magic of a face. That really might take a whole day, while a mass scene, I mean, mob scene, if you have the right people, the right idea, and the right quick way to inspire the crowds is no problem whatsoever.
Isn't that funny? From the layman's point of view, it would seem just precisely the opposite. I guess it's the simplicity of a Mozart aria versus the great splash of Wagner or something.
Well, like it's yeah. I mean, is it more difficult to sing the aria Don Elvira, Mi Tradì, or the Triumphal March of Aida?
Yeah.
Decide.
It just seems that in the Triumphal March there's so many more things to go wrong. I mean, your elephant's in the wrong place and then you got to do the whole thing over.
Yeah, but the whole thing works anyway, no matter what. One elephant less, one elephant more. But if that lady who sings Mi Tradì, she's not more than precise in every single sound she produces, then we are in trouble. So really there is exactly the same situation. It's much more difficult to be alone in close-up with your cantante, with your singer-actor or singer-actress, and then a mob scene where everything helps you, you know, through beautiful costumes and great gaiety and all of that. Well, the beginning of the House of Flora, the so-called third act, here, the party of Flora is unbelievable. And we had the most extraordinary ballet there with those two Russians. It was very easy to do, very, very easy. It wasn't difficult. It looks like 2,000 people on stage, but I have less people there than I normally would have on stage.
Hmm. I mean. So that's the skillful use of your camera.
Yeah, cinema,
I guess.
Cinema. Perhaps that. I had a lot of mirrors too.
Oh, I see.
Reflected
the truth
characters.
Comes out.
Lots of mirrors, but there are some less 120 people altogether I had between dancers and singers.
Do you find basically that the addition of music, in other words, when you're filming an opera as opposed to a straight play, does that pose in and of itself great difficulties, or is that something you take in stride?
I don't know. I'm so accustomed. You know, all my life I've been switching from one medium to the other. I really don't know what happens. I just do it. And when I begin rehearsal for a play, I put my car into that gear, then, you know, directing a play. Of course, there is always a medium leaks on the other, of course. Yeah. Something like something operatic. They accuse me of always being a bit operatic also in movies or vice versa, or filmistic in opera, whatever. But, yes, one medium leaks on the others. But I cannot tell you exactly what happens. I just do it. I know it's different, but it comes naturally. See, Verdi was an extraordinary man. He knew how to put drama and music together in a way that like nobody else. We had to wait until Puccini came on the scene. Especially in these first operas here, he must have been crazy, absolutely crazy. In Traviata is a madman, unleashed with a blood that runs faster than any other mortal blood. I am absolutely bewildered by the beauty of Traviata. And incredibly, ironically, I've done Traviata 3 times on stage with supreme artistic conditions, with Callas in Dallas and with Karajan, La Scala, with Freni. And making the film, scene by scene, I found out more about the opera in itself than I did on stage.
Germone qui, il vedete?
Cielo, è vero, il vedo!
a voi non un sol detto si volga questo Alfredo, non un detto, non un detto.
Fortuna nell'amore, fortuna reca la gioco,
e sempre vincitore.
Oh, vincerò stasera, e l'oro guadagnato, posso godere tra i campi, tornerò beato.
Solo?
No, no, con tale che mi fumeco ancora, poi mi sfuggia.
Dio!
Che di lei,
signor?
Siete in sì gran fortuna che a giuoco mi tentaste.
Sì, la di sfida che
cento luigi a destra e dalla manca cento.
Un asso, un fante, hai vinto.
Il doppio sia.
Un quattro, un sette,
ancora,
pur la vittoria mia.
Brava te, la sorte, è tutta per Alfredo.
E il giorno steso, farai parola vivo.
Seguite pur, la cena è pronta.
Andiamo,
andiamo.
Continuar Bagrana,
per ora noi possiamo più tardi la rivincita.
Quale gioco che vorrete?
Seguiam gli amici. Poscia
sarò quel brave re. Andiamo.
Andiamo.
Ma taci!
Once again, we have dipped into the soundtrack album of La Traviata, directed by Franco Zeffirelli. The film is now playing at the Paris Theatre, and it stars Teresa Stratus, Placido Domingo, Cornell McNeil, with James Levine conducting. Maestro Zeffirelli, thank you very much for giving us so many insights into your approach to music as well as film. What lies ahead for you? What are you cooking up next?
Well, I just finished a play in Europe, which is going very well. It's a great historical play, the Mary Stuart by Schiller. And I'm preparing two pictures, which are not musical films.
Mm-hmm.
I might come back to do another film opera, or opera film, however you want to call it.
If this one goes well. You're going to tell us which one?
Well, I have to. Unfortunately, I wanted to do Carmen, but there are. It seems that they're doing a Carmen in Paris next year, so I don't want to compete with the colleagues. Uh-huh. It's a pity, because I had in mind a very good approach to the material. Uh-huh. There is Turandot and there is Aida.
Oh, well, back to the Triumphal March again.
But I want to do some other kind of cinema before I go back to do opera.
Well, when you go back to opera, I hope you'll come back to us at WQXR and tell us about it all over again.
I'll be honored and pleased. Thank you.
So with a reminder that La Traviata, the film playing at the Paris Theatre on West 58th Street, we close out our visit with Franco Zeffirelli. Word of next week after these final announcements. And with the prelude to La Traviata, we have closed the circle on our visit with Franco Zeffirelli. Now, about next week, frankly, I don't know what's going to happen next week. You see, I taped this program several weeks back, just ahead of a vacation, and my plot and plan is to return this coming week with tapes from abroad. I don't know who's going to be on those tapes, but somebody will, I trust. And, when we get it all set out, it'll be yours to hear next Sunday at 5:06. So have a good week, and until then, for the Great Artist Series, this is Bob Sherman.